Gone south by Libra. Like all good plans, something doesn't go exactly right. In my case, it was after the main part of the crime was over. My name is Harry and I was a lover to an already married woman. Jackie, my discreet lover, worked at some big shot research company whose name I always had trouble saying. Jackie wasn't a research scientist or anything, but a lab tech who was made to do grunt work like cleaning and washing out stuff or taking blood samples from animals. When she first told me about the exciting new discovery, I didn't believe her at first, but then she started making plans for us to leave the country together. Jackie was in contact with another company and promised them a sample of a youth elixir for a sum of cash that would have made Bill Gates groan. Jackie snuck the sample out in a plain water bottle you pick up at the vending machine. The half-filled bottle didn't look like much, but it was worth several lifetimes of money that would carry our children for generations to come. It was the night of the crime and we were making the final preparations to leave. Our bags were packed and loaded into my car parked across the road so no one noticed. It was upstairs we decided to have a little fun before going off. We planned to leave the country by train into Canada, then fly south to a tropical paradise after we would make the exchange. Then we both heard the sound of an engine that turned our blood to ice. Jackie's husband Marty, who was a mountain of a man with muscles to back him up in any fight, pulled up. He was 6'4" and had that hard muscle you can only get from lifting very heavy objects or working construction all of your life. Marty is a steel worker like his dad before him and inherited all of his father's traits. "Quick, hide," Jackie half-whispered, and I knew the steps were no good. He would be inside and launch himself up the stairs with those fast legs of his. I only met him a few times and he never suspected I was doing his wife, otherwise I was sure I would have found myself buried in cement somewhere. It was in the bathroom I went to hide, then realized my mistake. Marty would hug and kiss his wife, then catch a shower, then make love to her. Looking around, I needed a place to hide and my eyes saw the nearly full tub of warm water Jackie didn't bother to drain from her bath. Then I saw Jackie's bag on the bathroom counter with the youth elixir cleverly hidden in plain sight inside the water bottle. Like that youth elixir, I had to hide in plain sight, so without thinking, because I could hear thundering footsteps of Marty, I drank the youth elixir without pausing and stopped when only 1/4 of the bottle was left. If I overdosed, there wouldn't be enough of me left to find, and I'd die as I shrank into nothingness. I stripped my clothes and tossed them under the sink counter, careful not to make any noise. Naked, I slipped into the bath, already feeling the effects of the elixir taking effect. You think I would watch myself get younger, but all I could do was watch as the room was getting larger and listen to Marty's voice very carefully. He was next door, and in my haste I had it lock the bathroom door, but only shut it. I was a dead man if he saw a naked man standing in his upstairs bathtub. "Hey, baby. Big Daddy is home," Marty's thunder-like voice said, and I heard Jackie squeal with delight as she was picked up and tossed onto the bed. The bed springs creaking were one sound I knew very well. Meanwhile, I was cursing the reason why he was home early. "What is this?" Marty's voice said, and there was a shift in a tone that made my heart thump in my chest. Jackie was saying something, but her voice didn't carry through the door. "So you got us plane tickets," Marty's voice said, and something told me he was looking around now. No doubt his eyes locked on the bathroom door closed for no reason. I sat down and closed my eyes, praying like hell he wouldn't look in the tub when he entered. I barely noticed the water level rising up to my chest as the bathroom door banged open. "Who is in here?" A voice that would make the gods slightly jealous, and I could hear Jackie saying something like, "Honey, I can explain." I heard and felt the bathroom door slide open as the draft came over my upper exposed body. I was taking deep breaths, and according to Jackie, I was whimpering just a little. "Jackie?" Marty's voice said, and from the tone I knew he was puzzled. I opened one eye then the other. A nightmare greeted me when my eyes focused again as I looked at a very young boy's body. Then up at the towering Hulk-like figure of Marty. Jackie was looking at me with some shock, but she quickly put it together. "That's Harry, my second cousin kid on my mother's side." She got ill and I made a promise to look after him even if it will kill my surprise vacation to you. You should be ashamed of yourself scaring him. Jackie said, making up the lie and adding in a little scolding so Marty would feel guilty. Sorry, little buddy. I just thought we had a stranger in my house. I think I will just go downstairs to the kitchen to make something. Marty said in a sheepish tone and left the room to head to the kitchen. Jackie waited for him to be out of earshot, and when his thunder-like footsteps faded away she spoke. Harry, what have you done to yourself? Jackie said as he stood up, still shaking even with the warm bath water coming up to his knees. I had to. We can get the antidote or buy it to make me an adult again. I said, next cupping my privates. They were of course the size of a little boy's privates. Antidote? Harry, you didn't swallow poison. They didn't bother making any serum to counteract the youth serum. They wanted to people to grow younger, not older. Jackie said, and I felt my hopes fall. We can still run away together. I will grow up again. We can be rich together. I said, feeling like my role in life was going to take a new turn. I had visions of myself pretending to be Jackie's son on some tropical beach. Sure, it's already arranged. I will just give them a call and they will alter your passport. Jackie said, assuring me everything was going to be all right. I should get out. I said, referring the tub full of water that was now getting colder with each passing minute. You should take your hands away from your willy. I will dry you off and I will just throw on one of Marty's shirts on you. We have to pick up some clothes for you later on the trip. Lord help me, Harry, you look barely old enough to be out of diapers. I never been around kids your age, but I say you're older than 3 and less than 6 years old. Jackie said, trying to make it sound this was now part of the plan. Even the smallest of Marty's shirts made me look like a little boy playing dress up in Daddy's clothes. If I wanted to walk about the house, I had to raise it up so the bottom of the shirt didn't trip me while I moved. Then every time I did this, the shirt threatened to slip off over my shoulders. Marty, for his part, seemed to attempt to make up for scaring me by making dinner that night. A half of an hour later, we were all drinking down sodas and eating pizza. Not used to my new body just yet, I had to make 2 bathroom breaks with Jackie helping me out each time. I guessed my own age to be around 4 years old. Simple things I used to do as an adult became a task now. I needed help just getting on and off chairs. The world around me looked like it was built for giants, but I knew it was just my new point of view now. Jackie seemed to take pleasure in helping me without asking whenever I had the smallest problem. Marty made an effort to be friendly toward me and I kept our conversations very short. If there was even the slightest chance he figured out who I was, I didn't want to give him any reason to doubt I really was a little boy. As I nestled in Jackie's lap, I wasn't really paying attention to the movie we were all watching. My caffeine and sugar high fading to a total sugar crash, I fell asleep halfway through the movie. When I opened my eyes, I had been dreaming about being trapped in a cave with a snoring bear guarding the only exit. As my mind awakened to my environment, I had a few seconds of panic thoughts because I was trapped between Marty's massive frame and Jackie's sleeping body. Then I realized I wasn't a man anymore. The deep, light snoring followed by breathing I dreamt about was coming from Marty's chest. At first I thought it had been the sound, but then I felt the pressure in my bladder. Crawling out of bed, I let the shirt drop away from my body. I decided I put it back on after I was done. Standing in front of the toilet, I realized a problem right away. I wasn't tall enough to aim for the bowl, nor could I climb up without help. Need some help, little buddy? A quiet, but deep voice said, and one hand went to my penis to cover it. No. I said meekly and felt if I didn't go soon my bladder was going to burst. Marty was awake and shirtless with only boxers on. Nonsense. You're 2 seconds away from doing I got to go dance. Marty said with a chuckle and entered the bathroom. Just help me sit. I said, hopeful he would leave or turn away when the urine started shooting out. What are you, a girl? Guys only sit if they have to do a number 2. You're a big boy and us boys stand when we pee. Marty said, picking me up just under the armpits, then raising me high enough so now I could aim for the bowl. I felt uncomfortable with Marty holding me and didn't think my bladder would release. Then I watched in horror as I started peeing into the bowl. The hand I had used to cover myself now helped me aim for the center of the bowl. Afterwards, Marty told me in his gruff manner that to shake it 3 times and no more, because after that you're just playing with it. Then he helped me wash my hands and finally set me back down on my own 2 feet again. I hurried out to hear the bathroom door shut as Marty took his own early morning piss. Once everyone was awake and Marty's bags were packed, we headed out. We stopped for lunch at McDonald's. Marty made a big show of the toy within the Happy Meal to me. We were heading north toward Canada and USA border in Marty's 350 Ford truck. I sat in the back of the extended cab still dressed in a huge t-shirt. It wasn't until the middle of the day we decided that I needed clothes. Marty went in with us to buy the bags while Jackie took me to get the clothes I needed. Jackie carried me all the way to the little boys' section of the clothing department, where we ran into an elderly employee more than willing to help us. My son had a little accident. It is okay if we buy some clothes now so he can wear something? Jackie asked the elderly woman, and all I could do was blush in Jackie's arms as attention was drawn to me. To my further embarrassment, the old woman suggested a package of slim diapers for little boys who still wet the bed. Jackie, of course, bought them just so she could force me to wear them. Come on, Harry. It is a 2-day drive and you can just hide them under your little underwear, Jackie said in the dressing room, trying to get me to step into them. I agreed in the end, since now I had to pretend to be a little boy. I never noticed before, but nearly everything I wore had some cute message on it or a cartoon character I barely noticed before. Even my shoes had some kind of rat creature on it from some cartoon called Pokemon. I vowed the moment I was on a tropical beach I'd go naked rather wear these kiddies' clothes. The next few days of travel were mostly hotels and pit stops. Because of my smaller bladder, we made more pit stops than normal. Finally, we came to the last hotel just minutes away from the border. Our original plan was for us to stay here a while, then go across the border with fake IDs to catch a flight to a tropical island. Jackie was getting excited now because this was also the spot where we would exchange the youth elixir for our final payment. With Marty around, Jackie would have to keep him distracted somehow when she went to go make the exchange. Jackie's idea was for me to distract Marty with a trip down to the hotel's pool, which included a steam room next to the gym. Since I was planning to spend my time on a beach, my new clothes included a pair of swimming trunks. It was on the elevator ride down that Marty reminded me that it was too soon to get in the pool. We have to wait an hour after eating. We will spend some time in the steam room, just us men, Marty said, already looking eager to relax a little. It was in the changing room I have to swallow my pride yet again. I was the only child in a room halfway filled with grown men, all of them changing out of their clothes. Marty motioned for us to hit the showers first, and I felt a wave of horror pass over myself as I realized I would have to be naked next. Wearing only flip-flops, I found myself being led toward the shower part of the changing room. I had just happened to glance at Marty in all his naked glory, and I found myself staring at him. When Jackie had once confessed to me she had a problem with Marty's dick size, I thought she meant he was small for a man. He was the reverse of it. That would put a lot of men to shame if it came to bragging. Looking at Marty's manhood, I saw why he had a deep sense of pride in him. I quickly looked away and focused looking anywhere else, but at all the naked grown-up men all around me. Considering I was barely waist-high in height, this made it hard not to notice. At that moment I didn't think I could feel more like a little boy. I have to wait a full decade before I could hope in screwing a girl again. I barely looked out of diapers and a year or two away from even starting elementary school again. The steam room was okay, and I actually found myself enjoying the pool since Marty didn't mind helping me swim. It seemed cruel to me that soon he'd be all alone when Jackie came back to get me. That evening Jackie didn't return to the hotel, but I barely noticed because I was so tired I went down for a nap. The dream I had started off interesting enough with me still an adult and about to make love to Jackie. As I was thrusting myself into her, I noticed Jackie was getting larger. Then I realized I wasn't an adult anymore. I was shrinking away into a child, but it didn't stop there. The dream turned into a nightmare when Jackie said she still wanted me inside her. Taking me by the feet, I found myself being pulled into her vagina, and for a horrible few seconds I could feel the warmth of her wetness around my waist as I was being pulled further into her body. I felt myself getting smaller and looked down as my child self was still getting younger. I was a crying newborn baby again as Jackie's vagina's lips were closing over my head. I woke gasping for air in the middle of the night and realized what I thought was the womb in my dream, where the warm covers pressing down on my little body. I had a layer of sweat all over my body, and as I pushed the covers off I felt something which made me pause with dread for a few seconds. The thin diapers and little boy briefs I had wore like a second pair of underwear were slightly wet. As I shifted off the bed I had to catch my diaper from falling off. I could now feel a warm wet feeling just over my crotch. I almost wet the bed. I thought and checked the bed for a wet spot, but it was wet all the way down where my sweat had been. Suddenly the room was bathed in blinding white light as someone turned on the light. "What's wrong?" Marty's thunder-like voice said, and he was there in the doorway looking in. I gave a cry of pain and used both hands to cover my eyes. I felt my wet diaper and briefs go sliding down my legs as I backed away toward the bathroom. I ended up tripping myself, landing on my naked butt. I realized the embarrassing moment, and combined with the dream, the little boy part of me won. I was crying as I made a low pitiful whimpering sound. "Don't cry, little man. I'm sure I wet my own bed a long time ago. We won't have to tell Aunt Jackie either," Marty said, coming into the room and helping me back up. I was standing naked in the tub as Marty washed me down with a detachable shower head. "There we go. You are all clean now. You can sleep in my bed tonight after we get you dried off then dressed," Marty said, and to my own surprise I was nodding in agreement. I didn't think I could handle going back to a bed with wet sheets. Marty dried me off with a towel and helped me dress for bed once more. As we lay down together with Marty only an arm's reach away, I stayed awake in the darkness of the master bedroom, worried I was losing my adult mind. I could easily recall places I worked and even the college classes I took. I thought about it and the sleep was drifting over my body once more. Maybe I thought somewhere along the line I was only losing my emotional control due to stress. When the morning light awoke me, I was alone in the master bed, and for a horrible few seconds I thought maybe Marty had left me alone like Jackie had done. I was trapped in the body of a 4-year-old little boy hundreds of miles away from my hometown. Then I could hear voices in the other room and what sounded like bags being dropped to the floor. I got up happy that my thin diaper under my little boy underwear was dry. I came into the living room part of the hotel room to see a bellman leaving out the door as Marty opened up the first large duffel bag. On the floor were 3 large duffel bags nearly full. As Marty opened the first one up, we both saw it was full of cash in neat wrapped bundles with a Bank of America wraps around each bundle of money. There was a letter laid on top the bundles of money. "Well, according to his letter, Jackie has left the country and this money is yours. Rest of the letter just says she is leaving me. To think, I hope she would change her mind. That woman is pretty cold, leaving her husband and lover behind," Marty said, and I looked up in alarm. He knew who I was. I was frozen with fear as I saw he was in front of the only safe exit out of the hotel room. "From your scared expression you're wondering how I knew. I had Jackie's phone cloned weeks ago. I read every text message you sent to her and the ones she got from that other company. At first I thought youth elixir was a code word for something else. I really didn't believe it until I found your clothes under the bathroom sink with a wallet in the jeans. How I have enjoyed teasing and treating you like the little boy you have become," Marty said, coming toward me. "This is the end. He is going to snap my neck and leave me here for the maid to find." I thought and closed my eyes as his hand came forward. I opened my eyes when I felt the hand on my shoulder and not moving. "Well, I guess this is goodbye then. Don't mind if I take one duffel bag with me for business costs. Congrats on being the richest 4-year-old boy. I'm sure your new parents will look after your money for you. Marty said and took one bag with him into the bedroom. I had an image of myself alone and scared in this room waiting for a maid to find me, then the police or child services to come for me. Even if I could convince them I wasn't really a little boy, more images of being studied like a lab rat passed through my thoughts. My only other choice was to pretend and grope in this nightmare with total strangers as my new parents. Wait! I yelled, running into the bedroom to see Marty packing his clothes away. If I scared the piss out of you, I will change you before I leave, just for old time's sake. Marty said with a chuckle, pausing and putting away his shirts. No, take me with you. I don't want to stay here. I said, feeling panic spreading over my body. I could feel tears pricking at my eyes, but I fought hard to keep them off my face. If I was trembling, I didn't care. Say daddy please. Marty said with a broad grin. Daddy, please. I said, feeling any pride I had left as a man going out of the window. Okay. As my son, I expect you to keep your room clean and be my wingman, Marty said, reaching to ruffle up my hair. Wingman? I asked, confused. Didn't think I didn't see Jackie was losing interest in me. I'm surprised she hadn't left me months ago. As soon as I get a lawyer to make it official, I will soon be a single man again. Thanks to your half of the money, I will buy my own construction business and work the hours I want. My free time will be spent in getting a new younger wife. Your cute little face is better than getting a puppy. Girls love single fathers. Marty explained with a chuckle. The trip back to my new home was long, mostly because we stopped from place to place to load up the back of the truck with stuff for my new room. Marty, for his part, didn't get any sissy stuff as I feared. Everything was solid steel and wood as far as furniture went. When we arrived home, I had to sleep in the living room for a week while Marty redid the guest bedroom to his tastes. The walls were a deep ocean blue and he moved the furniture from the garage to my room in under a day. As part of our male bonding, Marty made sure we did everything together at first. From eating at the table like a family, watching action movies, and worst of all, taking shared showers. How Jackie would have howled with laughter to see Marty holding a 4-year-old boy like you would a baby as the shower water hit us both. I prayed like hell every night she had accidentally drank that youth elixir by mistake, but considering my half of the money was given to me, she must have handed over the youth elixir sample in exchange for the cash. My curses went toward hoping she would burn in the tropical sun or step on a jellyfish. Whenever I got really bored, I would imagine Jaws would take a bite out of Jackie's ass just for me. Days later, I discovered a small file carefully capped and in the side pocket of the duffel bag. Marty gave me the task of adding up all the money. Some of the money I put under a loose floorboard in my closet I discovered only days ago. Looking at the tiny file of water, I worked out what it was. If I didn't miss my guess, it was more of youth elixir, and from the amount, maybe enough to make me just a few years younger. I had a sudden picture of myself as a helpless infant with Marty looming over me as he changed my diapers. I quickly hid the tiny file in the same hiding spot as the money. I considered it a future investment for when I got older. As part of our new routine, Marty took me to the park where I made a few friends among neighborhood children. Marty would spend some time chatting up the women who came to the park. Most of the women were married or had a boyfriend, so he didn't have much to choose from. One day during the walk from the park to home, we ran into a single woman with a daughter about 12 years old. The friendly hello chat turned into an invite for tea. Barely a few dates later, and suddenly I had a new mommy and older sister. Pamela was a tall Amazon-like woman who didn't mind having a big man like Marty in her bed. Because I was a cute little boy, Pamela always made me blush whenever she wanted to cuddle or just hold me. Marty was always teasing us I was stealing his new wife away from him. Teresa, my new 12-year-old sister, because she had her birthday only a few days ago, became terrible Teresa to me. She was tall for her age and even had breasts to envy girls older than her. Looking at her, you never know it, because Teresa always wore baggy clothing and stayed in her room. She hated her mom remarrying, moving into a new house and having an unwelcome little brother to look after when her mom was away with her new stepdad. Teresa taunted, teased and even bullied me into obeying her without question. I refused to go running to my new daddy just because I was being picked on. Finally, I decided to do something about it. One of Teresa's favorite things to do to me was steal my food or drink, so on my way to bed I made sure I had a very special mug of water just for her. Without fail, Teresa stopped me in the hallway then demanded what I was doing.
"Whoa, little stepbrother. What do you think you are doing?"
Teresa asked, taking her babysitting duties with an attitude only a drill sergeant would approve of.
"I'm going to bed,"
I said, trying to move around and felt the small glass of water pulled from my loose grip.
"Not with this, you are. You will wet the bed."
"I'm so grown up looking, Mom has left me in charge," Teresa said and drank the glass of water without a second thought.
"Teresa," I whined and smiled as I did it. I had a role to play and whining little brother was it for now.
"Chill, pain in my rear. I left you a few drops," Teresa said with a giggle and handed the empty mug back to me. I went to bed with a grin, knowing my new parents would be home and Teresa would have a few extra birthdays even if she didn't know it. I woke like Mommy and Daddy did when there was a scream from Teresa's room. I made sure Pamela went first after Marty was right behind her. I was just behind Marty's legs, watching everything from the spaces between their legs. My body, I shrunk, Teresa said, looking at a mirror then over to her parents. She was wearing a bathrobe with PJ bottoms that looked just a little bit too big for her. Since no one entered her room without knocking and she had a lock on the inside, I learned at that very moment she slept topless.
"Teresa, what in God's name are you yelling about that you have awakened everyone in this house?" her mother asked, looking at her daughter and not seeing anything wrong with her. I could of course see a few things that looked a little off. Teresa was shorter and her robe didn't bulge out in her chest area.
"My breasts," Teresa said and opened her robe to show her mother. A few seconds later she realized she had just flashed the room her chest and quickly closed the robe as her mother was scolding her.
"Teresa, young women don't go around flashing their chests. Not in front of your new stepfather and baby brother," Pamela said, looking angry her daughter was behaving this way.
"Marty and I saw the flat chest of a 9-year-old girl.
Harry,"
Teresa said, remembering my smile from last night, and leaped at me. Marty was ready for her and caught her around the stomach as her hands reached for me. I backed into the hallway ready to run for all I was worth to the bathroom. The lock on the door would buy me the time I need.
"Stop it, Teresa.
You are too old for this," Pamela said, grabbing at Teresa's legs so they could wrestle her to the ground.
"Let go of me. I'm going to send that little devil back to hell," Teresa said, struggling with all her might against the only adults in the house.
"Maybe, I was wrong.
Marty, spank her ass bare," Pamela said, now sitting on Teresa's legs, and pulled her PJ bottoms down so now her bare ass could be seen.
"Don't you dare touch me," Teresa managed to yell just before Marty's hand came down like a thunderclap and Teresa screamed in rage or pain. Judging from the look on her face, I would made a bet it was pain. Marty seemed to realize the power behind his hand and gave her only two more, then nodded for Pamela to get off of her. Teresa curled into a sobbing mess on the floor after she pulled her PJ bottoms up to cover her now stinging ass.
"You have a mother to daughter, talk to her.
I will get Harry his breakfast," Marty said, and carried me down the steps to the kitchen.
"Explain yourself, young man, or Teresa won't be the only one getting a spanking this morning," Marty said, letting me sit on the kitchen counter so we could almost be at eye level. I quickly explained the tiny vial of youth elixir I had and how mean Teresa was to me whenever they weren't around.
As her new father, I can 100% approve, but the girl does need to be knocked down a few pegs.
"Just hope for your sake this ends here," Marty said, then straighten up as Pamela's footsteps could be heard coming downstairs.
"That girl of mine is getting harder to understand every day. I mentioned there was no shame in being a late bloomer and stuffing her bra was no big deal. Then she claims she had breasts and was bigger.
I told her she was just losing weight because she spends all her time in that room of hers. She asked to be the only girl in the world upset about losing weight. Pamela said, looking slightly upset herself. The start of teenage mood swings, if you ask me. Marty said, and started in preparing a cold bowl of cereal for me. My punishment so far was a cold breakfast. Harry, you didn't perhaps take tissues out of Teresa's bra, did you? Pamela asked me in an innocent tone, and I shook my head. Judging from her face, she didn't believe me, but I was a very cute-looking little boy, so she didn't get angry with me. I'm sorry, Marty. Teresa was a good kid once, but when her father left us for a younger woman, she blamed me. Now she directed her bad feelings toward your boy. I told her to behave herself or she could go around this house naked for a week. Pamela said, and got closer to Marty as he gave her a hug. That is an interesting idea. I wouldn't mind seeing you without clothes for a while. Just think, we could become a family of indoor nudists. Marty said, kissing and caressing Pamela a bit too much as she giggled with delight. Stop that. The boy is watching, and you will give him ideas about parading around without clothes. Pamela said, giving Marty a few playful punches if her very honor was in question. How about it, Harry? The entire family walking about naked. Your new mom wearing nothing but a smile. Marty said, and I blushed when I pictured Pamela without any clothes. The most I had seen of her was the naughty nightie she wore for Marty's eye candy. Oh, you are a wicked man. Just for that, I'm taking your son to the living room so we can watch cartoons together. Pamela said, and taking me off the counter so I could ride her hip now. Pamela carried the bowl of cereal in her other hand. Stay sweet and innocent. Pamela said to me as we sat down and started to spoon-feed me, making funny airplane noises. For once I didn't mind the baby treatment as much. Pamela, I didn't think, noticed she was cuddling me and squeezing my body like a hug motion in an absent-minded way. For the next week I slept in the master bedroom nestled between Pamela and Marty. Teresa for the most part was quiet and stayed in her room more now than ever. A few more days passed without any trouble, and I was exiled back to my own room at night. Marty's investments into his company were doing well, and things seemed to settle down once more. After a while I let my guard down and went about the house without fear. One night I was passing Teresa's room and the door was open just a crack. Like all the other times, I started to speed up and gave the door a wide berth. Then there was a sound that froze me in my tracks. There was a low sniffling cry if Teresa had a kitten in her room. Carefully I walked toward the door's crack against my better judgment and saw Teresa. She was naked while standing in front of her mirror. At first I could only see her naked backside, then I noticed her front in the mirror's reflection. She was caressing her body in a naughty way on a much older girl would have been very arousing. Teresa doing it made it look like she was a child exploring herself for the first time. Silent tears fell from her face as she tried to make herself look mature by squeezing her chest together in an attempt to give herself breasts once more. I backed away and hurried to my own bed. Whatever cruel prank or harsh words Teresa had planned for me, I was willing to take it without any back talk. It was only a matter of time before she would do something. I stayed up late and didn't fall asleep until I was sure everyone else was in bed. I woke up that morning thinking Pamela was looming over me. To my surprise, it was Teresa naked and straddled over my nearly naked body. Since my secret victory over Teresa, I did without the bedtime diapers and just wore briefs. She had slipped under the covers without waking me. Teresa. I choked out and knew my voice didn't carry. There was a terror in my mind I didn't fully understand. I don't care how you did it, but you can make me older, can't you? This is what you want, isn't it? Teresa said, looking as mad as the Hatter from Alice in Wonderland. Teresa guided my hand into her nearly naked slip, then she put one hand into my boy's briefs. I squeaked when she found my little penis and started to caress it. It wasn't the same as sexual pleasure, but it was close. Harry, time to get up, I have some great news. Oh dear God. Pamela said, coming through the doorway to find her daughter naked on top of her stepson. Mommy. Teresa said, reverting back to her childhood nickname for her mother as she was getting off of me to back away from the bed. Pamela didn't wait for any words as she ran forward and slapped Teresa hard across the face, and Marty nearly got knocked over as Teresa fled from the room in shame. Marty came into the room to find Pamela holding me in a way if she had just chased a monster out of the room to save me. "Call the doctor we talked about. I just caught her giving a hand job to Harry," Pamela said after laying her hands over my ears, thinking I wouldn't hear her. Marty looked at me, then at his wife, then nodded without a word. The doctor turned out to be a psychiatrist named Dr. Sadlock. At first he gave Teresa the impression he was a medical doctor and asked her questions as he pretended to look at her slightly swollen face. Pamela didn't let me out of her sight all morning as she bathed and dressed me for the doctor's visit. We were all quiet and waiting in the living room as the doctor went up the stairs to interview Teresa. He came down only after a few minutes, which felt like an hour. Finally, the doctor came back down the steps and looked like he was about to announce Teresa had died while speaking with him. "I have given her something to help her sleep. After questioning her, I can tell you with certainty she is emotional and mentally disturbed. This fantasy she had once being older is clearly a buried desire to be the youngest child in the family. I fear for your family's safety she should come with me back to the hospital. I can arrange official transport within an hour. She will sleep until tomorrow morning where we can treat her," Dr. Sadlock said in a calm tone which he must have had used every day. "Doctor, I'm sure you are mistaken. Perhaps we can just lock her in her room at night and keep a careful eye on her," Marty said, willing to play jailer. "No, Marty. I won't have her in his house with the baby on the way," Pamela said, caressing her flat stomach if she could already hold her unborn child. I looked shocked, then I recalled the words she said to me as she was walking into my bedroom. "I respect your wishes then. I must insist on paying for everything. She is our daughter now," Marty said sternly, and Pamela nodded, nearly breaking into sobs. "Very well. If I may speak to the boy for a few minutes, then I will make the calls," the doctor said, and I was left alone in the living room as Marty was consoling Pamela in the kitchen. The doctor, of course, asked me questions and I answered them as innocently as I could. I played everything down that Teresa had just come into my room to tickle me. I even attempted to make it sound I had touched her in her special place on purpose. "You must love your new sister very much. Thank you for answering my questions," Dr. Sadlock said, and went to the kitchen to ask Pamela questions next. I knew from his tone he didn't believe me and he thought I was trying to cover for my older stepsister. I didn't see them carry Teresa out of the house because Marty took me back to my room for a private discussion. He didn't yell or lay a hand on me, but spoke in a calm, quiet voice about how my actions might have just resulted in the sanity of a now very confused 12-year-old girl. If there had been any youth elixir left, I would have happily taken it as my punishment. That way I could have proved Teresa was telling the truth and punish myself. I offered we should tell them the truth, but Marty shook his head. Everyone would just think we were going crazy as well, and he feared for Pamela's mental state. To lose a daughter, husband and stepson all in one day was risky to try. The first few months were the hardest on Pamela, but thanks to Marty's funding everything was kept very quiet. They told Teresa's friends and the school Teresa was away at a very private school. Only family was allowed to visit, and Pamela even let Teresa touch her belly. The few times I saw Teresa, she looked like she was in a drug haze or so withdrawn into herself. I felt like the older sibling. I did my best to console her and gave her encouraging words, but in hindsight it never seemed enough. As far as I could tell, the good doctor had deprogrammed her into thinking she ever had a maturing body. By the time that my new baby sister Victoria, or just Vicky, was born, Teresa openly admitted she had made everything up. I shuddered to think what treatment they used on her to convince her against her own personal experience. It was our first visit to Teresa with the new baby that would be the day that Teresa got to come home as well. Pamela didn't dare let Teresa hold her baby sister, but allowed her close enough to see her. "Teresa," Dr. Sadlock said, coming over to them in the visitor's room. Teresa looked out a window then back at the doctor if asking a silent question. Oddly enough, the visitor's room was empty of all other people. Soon, I promise. Dr. Sadok said and put a hand on Teresa's shoulder like a proud teacher would with a student. Was she asking when she could go home? Marty asked, seeing they were close enough to have some understanding of each other. Oh yes. I have an idea in letting her go home, but I wanted to run the idea past you, of course. Dr. Sadok said, addressing Pamela. Marty might pay all the bills, but it was Pamela who approved all the medical stuff. We do anything. I don't know if Marty has told you, but he just made a lot of money in the stock market with that company that made that new youth drug, RenewU. Of course, some other company claimed they made the drug first. Pamela said, thinking they would have to hire someone like the doctor to watch over their daughter so she doesn't have a relapse. That drug is sort of our plan. I suggested it. Mommy, I want to come home, and I admit I was jealous and angry. I want to be a baby. I promise I won't cry much, and you can leave me in the crib all the time. Teresa said quickly and looked like she had said too much. Teresa is right. This way she can return home with you this very day, and you can watch over her without any concerns. I happen to have a sample of the drug and a few legal forms for you to sign. We make her younger than your newest daughter, and I can pull a few strings to have a birth certificate saying she is a fraternal twin to her sister, Dr. Sadok said, and I could see the dollar signs dancing in his eyes. I will support my wife in any decision she makes. Money is nothing if it means our family can be whole once more. Marty said and offered to take Victoria from his wife's arms. The baby fussed a little then settled back down. Okay. Pamela said, and with that the doctor had her sign form after form he had pulled out of his briefcase. From his inside pocket he pulled out a small bottle with an eyedropper as its lid. As I understand it, the effects takes only a few minutes. I would suggest a little bit every 5 minutes. The visitor's room is yours for the next hour. Just a drop down the mouth, then wait when you get close to her target age. There is a prenatal crib on standby. I will have a nurse by the door ready if anything goes wrong. Dr. Sadok said, and I watched as he left the room. I and Marty watched as Pamela carefully gave Teresa the youth elixir. I almost shouted for her to stop when Teresa looked like 5 years old again. We were the same, and I wouldn't mind sharing my room with her, but after a few more drops she was reduced to a toddler. She wiggled free of the hospital gown and pants to sit naked on her mother's lap. Like a baby bird, she kept her mouth open so she could get more of the youth elixir. I watched as she got younger and smaller with each tiny drop. There we are. Pamela said and pulled out a blanket and diaper from the diaper bag at her feet. I looked at Teresa and marveled how tiny she now looked as Pamela laid her on the blanket, then motioned for Marty to put their other daughter on the table next to Teresa. Teresa was the smallest of the pair and looked strange with a belly button next to her newborn sister. Beyond that, they could be mistaken for twins with little doubt in anyone's mind. Say hello to your second baby sister. Pamela said, seeing my face, and I leaned over and muttered a hello. Teresa was diapered and dressed, and Marty picked up the youth elixir with a grin at me. Maybe he was hinting it was my turn for punishment, or just to say I will keep this safe. In the car, Marty decided he'd drive home, and after my real baby sister was safe in her baby seat. Pamela held onto Teresa while she sat in the passenger seat. I noticed something odd about the way Pamela was holding Teresa, then I leaned forward to see that she was being breastfed. Looking at Pamela's almost exposed nipple, maybe being a baby wasn't as bad as I first thought. I don't know if this was a happy ending or not. Whatever happens now, I know Marty will be there for me. As for Jackie, I got a postcard on my birthday with a picture of a beach on one side and a few words on the back. The message was short, and I guess it was to encourage me. Come and see me in 20 years. It read. I was still undecided whether she would wait in vain for me or I'd run to her when I grew up. The end.